Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Let's talk about what is the latest and the greatest. That's pretty much where I'm at. This is Debbie Dashinger. I am your host for the Dare to Dream radio show. And we're going to be talking a little later about spiritual leadership. And I love the fact that those two words are finally together. I will be having a guest on that I'm interested to feature because she's doing some pretty cutting-edge work herself, and that's Alka Dillon, who's the CEO of Technolink, and she's going to share some of her brilliance. And I hearken back to this idea of your dreams, cutting-edge, everything is new, everything is a hyphen, we're all doing so much. And a lot of times it is about staying aligned with your path, but also aware and awake to opportunity, and yet having the discernment to know what is the big yes, what is the big no. I have been invited to serve on a board of neuroscientists. These are people who meet with Obama and Stephen Hawking, and I'm sitting back and saying, I do not know quite how I got here, but I got to tell you, the universe keeps astounding me. If I just show up and breathe through life, it's incredible. So here's the story. I met someone on LinkedIn. I see under his name he's a brand ambassador for Nespresso. I happen to write to him, and I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of connections there. Love LinkedIn. It's done me well. I reach out to this guy, just a cute little note, and I say, your coffee is the best. I could tell stories about your coffee, do commercials about your coffee. I love it so much. He tells me, he runs the flagship store in beautiful Beverly Hills and invites me to come, but I'm too busy. So a couple of months go by, and all of a sudden one day I realize, I never went to visit this guy. I got to go down. I get my puppy ready. We go on a little trip. We go into the flagship store. Boy, is it beautiful in there. I mean, it's a cafe. It's like the Apple store of coffee. And I'm hanging out. I knew this guy in 2 seconds. I could feel his vibe. Beautifully dressed, and we end up spending an hour together, have this amazing conversation. He starts telling me a very intimate story about his wife and his family, and it has to do with a disease that they didn't know was running through the family, and he starts becoming proactive, goes to Washington, comes back. Next day, somebody walks into Nespresso. Turns out this guy is the head brain mapping dude for neuroscience for this disease and others. And I mean, this is a worldwide flying UN kind of guy. He's telling me the story and like, how is that possible? And they start talking in a very busy Nespresso. They find each other and they are now colleagues. I say, I have to go. I'm being interviewed on television. I go to exit Nespresso. Who walks in? The neuroscientist. But of course, we end up having this amazing conversation. It turns out I intimately know many people at NASA who are working on this project with him, just so happens, of course, because I used to do contract work at NASA, and I know these scientists very well. And so before you know it, the conversation's moving forward. The guy's looking at Larry King. He's looking at me to serve on a board for media to help what they're doing for different brain diseases. And they're way above working, these small research, R&D, getting funds, like they're very big time, out on their own, rebellious types, really looking for cures. So we just had a conversation today, and I got to say, it seems so out of my league, and yet I have to wonder, when the universe puts something like this in my lap, what are the odds, what are the possibilities, and if I were to say yes to a year, who might I help, what lives might I change, what might I learn? So that's what I want to say, and of course, a lot of information, since this has been in my sphere, has been showing up. So I want to talk about a brain disease because I read something that blew my mind and I loved it, and it's about Alzheimer's. You cannot be alive today and not either know someone who has Alzheimer's or be concerned that you or someone you love will end up with it. So let's talk about it because I read something really hopeful that will help us feel good that is on the cutting edge of what I'm talking about. Alzheimer's disease, get this, it afflicts an estimated 5.4 million Americans and will impact legions more as baby boomers age. So there's your first stat. For 5.4 million Americans, that's a lot of people thus far. Now, for years, researchers have known that Alzheimer's is associated with a sticky substance called beta amyloid actually accumulates in the brain, and it creates plaque. So patients with the Alzheimer's disease are also often beset with these are great big words. Can you see me on the board right now? Oh, my God. Neurofibrillary tangles. You don't need the words. Just get the picture. Patients are beset with neurofibrillary tangles. So the neurons are tangled. Abnormal collections of twisted proteins inside the brain's neurons. That's what it is. They get twisted. And so far, what scientists have learned is that amyloid comes first. So potentially, if we can stop amyloid, then we can stop the tangles that do the damage that attribute to dementia. Following me so far, yeah? So there are these doctors at Harvard in Massachusetts who are testing nearly 5,000 drugs in the Petri dish, and they have found that two of those hold promise. One decreases the brain's production of a type of amyloid likely to become plaque, and the other, clinical trial now, but the other prevents amyloid from clumping, which speeds the disease. Now, this is what's possible and what they're looking to develop, but I'm going to talk about what you and I can do right now. Three things, and you're going to love it because you can do it. Don't skimp on sleep, take a meditation break, hit the gym regularly. Let me break this down because this is what scientists at Harvard are talking about to help us to combat Alzheimer's. Sleep, let's talk about sleep. The brain has higher levels of amyloid when you're awake and lower levels when you're asleep. So when we're chronically sleep deprived, it can accelerate our chances of developing Alzheimer's. Y'all, start sleeping 8 hours a night. Two, take a meditation break. Now, meditation expert Deepak Chopra, MD, he tracked gene expression in subjects before and after a week of twice daily meditation sessions lasting 20 minutes each. If you know TM, that's basically what it is. I studied something called The Art of the Center for Living. That's essentially exactly the same thing. I was given a mantra 20 minutes twice a day. Now, according to the doctors, they found that the expression of genes connected to amyloid deposits decreased after meditation. This is a quote. We don't think it's just the act of meditation that's doing it. It's what meditation is doing to you the rest of the day, improving your sleep and lowering your stress, both of which may have an impact on Alzheimer's risk. And three, hit the gym regularly. 2015, they did an analysis by the Alzheimer's Association, and it found that regular exercise lowers the odds of cognitive decline. In people who exercise, the hippocampus, which helps consolidate long-term memories, is bigger, has more capacity. They have said that even walking a mile a day can make a difference. This is cutting-edge stuff, folks, and if I'm heading into brain stuff, let's head there now. Because what I want to use is transformational. What is at our fingertips right now that we can all do for free to make a change? Here are some numbers. 1 in 9 people age 65 and older has Alzheimer's. Number, 236 billion is the estimated total economic impact of Alzheimer's and other dementias on Americans in 2016 alone. So again, what can you do while the researchers are working so hard? Don't skimp on sleep. Get lots of sleep. Take a meditation break every day and do some form of exercise that you know and love. This is Dare to Dream. This is about creating your dreams come true and turning them into a reality. So remember, how important is that? Also, by the way, I have a book coming out. I believe that we're launching, if my collaborator and I are finished, I believe August, and I'll let you know when I get there. I am so excited. We've been working for years on this book, and it's about PR. I'm not even going to tell you the title, but I will tell you it breaks down radio and books in a way that is going to be the roadmap to get people there. It is a beautiful book, and we have been lovingly working on it. So excited for that to come out. You know, as I promised, Alka Dillon is on the line. She is the Chief Executive Officer at Technilink. She's a beautiful woman and often called the spiritual CEO. Technilink is one of the leading companies in the Washington metropolitan area. It provides information technology and management consulting services to both government and commercial clients. But here's what's fascinating. She's also a conscious leadership expert, and she's a sought-after international speaker. Alka is also the recent recipient of the Global Technology and Innovation Leaders Award of the Decade, presented by the Women's Economic Forum. And she has received the Brava Women's Business Achievement Award, as well as the Top 100 Women Leaders in STEM Award, the Top 100 CEOs in STEM Award, the locally grown honor from Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, and the Abe Venable Legacy Award for Lifetime Achievement from the U.S. Department of Commerce's Minority Business Agency. Alka holds BA degrees in economics and Spanish from the University of Virginia. You can find her at alkadillon.com. Alka, welcome to Dare to Dream. It is so great to have you.
It is so great to be here with you, Debbie. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We're going to be having a conversation on your book. It's called The Ohm, O-M, Ohm Factor, A Woman's Spiritual Guide to Leadership, Seven Essential Tools and Seven Key Traits to Cultivate Your Success and Well-Being. You know, I want to start with you because I love the fact that you're on both sides. So we're talking technology, government, really more of a tough kind of brain-regulated career. And here you're talking about spirituality, Om, spiritual leadership. How did you arrive to the marriage of both of those together?
You know, I got here, Debbie, by living it. I just, you know, I happen to be the CEO, as you mentioned, of an IT services firm here in the D.C. area, and I realized that while I was dealing with high-pressured, high-level negotiations, big meetings, big deliverables, big projects, all these things, they come with, you know, that word that we hear, stress, and I was realizing that I was doing a lot of things that I had been taught at a very young age, you know, growing up, and I was actually implementing those things. And then when I looked even further and deeper into it, I realized that those things were actually active forms of meditation, and they were done in the moment. And I said, you know, I need to share this with people, because they were actually, when I would do these things, it would not only change the way I looked at things and changed my, you know, my well-being and my stress levels, but they also enabled me to witness the changing of the outcome of things. That negotiation that was maybe going to go the wrong way went the right way, and those people that I needed to show up showed up. Things like that started to happen. So I started to take note of it, and I wanted to share it with everyone, and I've you know, done that in the book.
Deep dive. So when you say that was a transition, you started noticing that there were behaviors and practices from growing up, and then you started to mindfully implement them. What kind of practices were those?
Right. So growing up, I will bring you way back. So I'm let's see, a little girl
adorable
of about...
Adorable little Alka.
Adorable little Alka, right, of about 7 and 8 years old. And we would go for walks. I grew up in the Mount Vernon area, if anybody's familiar,
sure,
near the Potomac River. And we would go for, my family and I would go for walks and by the river and jog and things like that. And at the end of those walks, my father would do meditation. He would go down to the banks of the river and sit on a rock and meditate. And we'd watch him, and I'd specifically watch him, and I'd think that was crazy. I really thought it was crazy. Who's going to sit there and not move for however long he sat there? And I had better things to do. So I remember seeing that, and then I remember, you know, him teaching me these teachings that I've shared in the book and learned throughout my life of certain active forms of meditation that you can do very quickly and things would change. And I thought that was cool because you could use them in the moment and they were quick and I didn't have to sit there. And then one day, you know, tragedy struck my family, and my father was very young, and he just completely dropped dead in front of us from a heart attack, and it was jarring, to say the least. And it put me in a downward tailspin where I was in and out of the emergency room for about 30 days, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, only to come up to say, it's stress. You know, one day my arm doesn't work, one day I can't walk, one day my heart's beating so fast, they didn't know what was going to happen, and they couldn't figure it out. And I just decided I needed to take control of the situation, and this was 20 years ago, and I enrolled in a yoga class, and at the end of that yoga class was meditation, and that was the same meditation I had seen growing up constantly and thought was ridiculous. And I tell you, Debbie, I did that, went to that class for 2 weeks straight, did meditation then for 2 weeks straight, and at the end of those 2 weeks, I did not set foot back into an emergency room for that, and it changed my life. It changed my life.
What is meditation like for you today? So I assume you kept doing it and keeping up the practice. And if so, what I love hearing actually what meditation does for people and what it's like for you, because I feel like it's actually so different. We may talk about it quieting our minds, but when I hear people describe their experience, it feels wholly different and so indigenous to each person. So what is yours like?
That's such a great question you ask, and no one has ever asked it like that. So I really appreciate that, because I do feel that it is different for every person, and anybody that's listening may or may not have the experience that I have. And I do it daily. It's kind of stuck with me. It's actually quite addictive, because when you see changes happen, and when you see yourself feeling better, and when you see yourself feeling what it is to feel present and feeling that, you want more of it. So for me, meditation is an instant and deep, profound connection to myself. I immediately can go to the source, and that is the source of all that is, and where everything comes from within me, and what all that I project, all that I am, all the things that I'm doing. And I realize that through doing that, I can kind of tap into that, where that magic chip is, and start to form and start to shape and be a shapeshifter, as they say, with my reality. And so that's what it means to me, and it is really, really life-changing. And what I do talk about is that I feel that meditation, when it's discussed, it has this mysticism to it, associated to it. People also kind of shy away from it because they think, oh, God, the same thing I thought when I was 7 or 8 years old, who's going to sit there for an hour at a time or whatever. And I think I need to lift the veil with that a little bit. It's not how long you do it. And, you know, in the book I talk about that you can, you know, even if you do it for 2 minutes, and I really mean this, 2 minutes, you can set the timer on your iPhone for 2 minutes. And that is, when I say meditation, there's nothing sexy about it, okay? You're just sitting down and you're sitting in silence in a still place, whether that be on a chair or on the floor, however you want to be, and you simply and only observe your breath without manipulating it and without judging it. And so you are just observing your inhalation and exhalation, not counting it, not doing anything. And you do that for the 2 minutes. And when you do that, and when you get up from there, and you do it consistently, everyone that you come into contact with from that point from which you get up from that meditation, you meet them with that stillness, and that changes everything.
I have played around with different kinds of meditation, and I get something from each practice. The TM type, very profound and delicious, and you need nothing but something to sit on. I have also done mindfulness. I'm very lucky to have right near me is UCLA, and they've got a whole department that people graduate in to mindfulness meditation, and they offer free meditations each day, and I've done some of that. And I particularly like that because in mindfulness meditation, it has taught me to, rather than resist, to incorporate. So if somebody walks in and makes a noise while we're meditating, the person who is leading us acknowledges it in the sense of, so every noise, you just hear it and you come back to the breath. And, you know, whatever, just acknowledge the noises in the room right now and go back to the breath. And that incorporation, that and, not a but an and word, inclusive, makes everything that is happening just as it is okay and all right, and makes me okay and all right. Very profound.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I agree with that completely, because ambient noises are going to be there. They just become part of it. It becomes part of that present moment when you are meditating.
Yes, ambient noises, and you talked about the workplace, you know, ambient behaviors from people who they may do things and say things we wouldn't, that are like, there could be reaction there. So let's talk about conscious leadership connected with spirituality. What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, conscious leadership, it means the ability to be able to connect with others in an authentic manner and understand that leadership has nothing to do with you. A lot of times we're taught, I mean, my gosh, we're taught that, you know, you have to, you know, lead well, you have to have people following you, and you have to lead by example, and you sit at the head of the table, and, you know, the captain is at the helm of the ship. It's all of these things.
Yes.
And
yes.
In reality, to me, what I realize with leadership, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with that person that's sitting in front of you, and aligning your vibration with that of the other person and creating a collective roadmap. That,
wow,
to me, is what leadership is.
Wow. Okay, I want to take this a step further because I have a really visceral idea what you're talking about. A thought mapping or a way to get together with other leaders and have a consensus. So how would you take that in the next step further as a leader who is aligning, vibing with the other person or maybe several other people? Let's say you're having a meeting and something big is on the table and you have to have this decision made or solve the problem or move it forward. How would you as a leader, a conscious spiritual leader, handle that and deal with your group so it rose to the occasion in the best way?
Well, you know, the best way to do that and the way we do it here at Technolink is that we always have a what I would call like a roundtable brainstorming session. So whenever I have something that is a challenge or like you were saying, a big deal that's huge and it needs to be closed right then and there, I always take those 5 to 10 minutes, and sometimes it goes into 15 to 20 minutes, and I ask each person, I do not care what role there is in the organization, if that is on the team. Let's say there's a team of 10 people or 15 people or 20 people or whatever it is. Maybe it's only 5 people in your organization. You ask everyone briefly, you know, what would you do? What would you do? What do you think, right? And everyone will come up with something different, and a lot of times some people will be shy to speak, or they'll just say, oh, I don't have anything to contribute. But what you realize is, when I talk about that collective roadmap, when you actually ask and wait for the answer and really care about the answer, you get a beautiful symphony that gets put together. And
okay,
how do you do that?
I got to stop you, because there may be people listening like, that's awesome, but it's hard, because people love to jump in, or they may get triggered thinking they're hearing something. And so how do you do that? How do you stay so relaxed and present to just be and hear?
Because I realize, and if you're in that leadership position, you have to let go in that moment and realize it has nothing to do with you, okay? So you disengage yourself. This is the hardest thing for anybody sitting in this chair to do, when you have to let go. So your ego needs to be checked at the door first, okay? Very hard for all of us to do. And you need to be present and listen. Be present. That term I think I've thrown out four times already. Let's talk about what that is.
Yeah.
That means that you are, in that moment, only focused on that which is in front of you, meaning those people in front of you. You are not thinking about what is going to happen 5 minutes from now or what happened 5 minutes ago. And you are open to hearing what each individual is going to say and contribute without judgment. So you might hear, I think there's a saying and there's a stat that you decide within the first 15 to 30 seconds of hearing someone speak if you feel that they're competent or not, or you feel that you're going to listen. That's a big stat. And it's very hard to not do that, because, you know, you think, oh, no, that's not the right way. And, you know, but if you can let go and just honestly just be there and listen to each person, and you can tell people, let's say you have 15 minutes to make the decision, you're then going to determine, you're going to say, okay, in a couple of minutes you tell me this, and everybody be mindful of the time. But I promise you, rather than just meeting with that one person who's responsible for making that decision, like one of your managers or things, meet with the rest of the team. Don't assume that, oh, they have already. You get that feedback as well, and you will see what will happen if you can just check your ego at the door.
Wow. So I can imagine working at Technolink must be something special, and it sounds like people are really honored there. What their opinions, what they have to say.
Absolutely. And, you know, in fact, Debbie, I'm honored. You know, for me, I feel that people make conscious choices when they work somewhere. You know, a lot of people work out of necessity. Of course, we all work. We need to work if we're working. However, we do choose where we're going to be. And more importantly, we choose where we're going to stay, right? We stay where we feel heard. Not only respected, but with respect comes where you're heard and where you're valued. And that is what we try and foster here with each of us. And so no one is more important than anyone else. I don't care if you're answering the phone here or you're sitting in my seat. We're all the same, because we're all contributing to the greater goal to make, you know, Technolink continue to succeed and continue to grow and continue to evolve. And while Technolink evolves, we all evolve, and we watch and participate actively and consciously in that evolution of each other.
Hmm. I want to hearken back to something you said in the beginning when you shared about the story of your father's sudden passing, and then you went through a lot of physical ailments that were a reaction to the stress and the grief that you're going through. So you've been spiritually aligned now for some time, and you use this practice in your life and in your work. And I imagine you went through a dark night of the soul to get to the other side of grief. I would love to know, what is grief to you now? What is your take today, being on the other side of this?
Grief to me always exists, and it just moves to a different place. This has been my experience. I do not feel that you ever get fully rid of the grief. I don't believe that. I do feel it moves to a different place. I do feel it reframes within your brain, within your body, and within your soul. And I feel that your perception then of that which has happened, which has been horrific, tragic, awful, gut-wrenching, and you feel like you're going to die, it moves and it reframes.
Wow. Reframe. What reframe might you offer to us? What is a way we might reframe that?
You know, there are two things I want to share. So first, there's a practice called HMR, which is holographic memory resolution, which I've done. There are many practitioners in all over the world, but Dr. Brent Baum, started this and founded this, and it is really profound. And he's worked with victims of 9/11, victims of rape, victims of just deep tragedy. And what through this practice, what you do, and it's a session that you sit with him or any other practitioner, and you literally face that reality again, and you go through a process of what I call and what I've found to be reframing of that that awful incident. And so what happens is, it then, because what happens when we have these tragedies hit, they actually manifest a place in our physical bodies, and that's why you get the physical responses of what was happening to me over and over. Different things happen and they manifest. It makes an imprint, an indelible imprint at that. Mm-hmm. And you need to make sure that doesn't stick. And so what you want is, you want it to be malleable. You want to be able to move it around and reframe it. So that's one way that I've found. I've done that, and it has worked, and it has really, really worked. Another way I feel that, actively you can do, with this to reframe is through meditation. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you are changing, and Dr. Deepak Chopra definitely talks about this. Many, many, many people talk about this. When you were talking about this, how when you meditate, you actually change the neurons in your brain. Things, everything, the synapses fire differently. Everything happens differently in the brain. And when that happens, then your perception about things changes. So as you do it consistently, and I must say this, a lot of people will come to me and say, oh, God, I meditated for an hour today. I say, fantastic. That is fantastic. Did you do it yesterday? Or are you going to do it tomorrow? Right? I'd rather you do 2 minutes a day, and I challenge someone to this. I said, I want you to do it for 2 minutes a day, just 2 minutes, and I want you to do more than that for 2 weeks. And I want you to do it every day, and I want you to come back to me and tell me how it was. And this woman did that, and she said, my goodness, it changed my life. My relationship is so much better. I feel more connected to my job. And she was sharing all these things with me. And I sat there and I said, oh, wow, that's great. And I said, you did it every day? She said, yeah, I did every day, and it went by so fast. I wanted to go up to 5 minutes. And I said, great, you can do that if you want. But the thing is, the person that does it even that 1 hour once a week, you're not going to see that difference. It's because you need to, it's just like, training for anything. You need to keep it consistent.
Absolutely. Consistency in your meditation, spirituality in the workplace. Well, you're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. When we come back, I'm going to be speaking to Alka about a dream or several dreams that she's created, any obstacles that she experienced and how she got through them to the other side. Join me after the show at DebbieDashinger.com or go to Facebook. The fan page is Dare to Dream Radio and TV. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@DebbieDashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show at ads@DebbieDashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@DebbieDashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish, and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestseller.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book review. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here throughout 2016 in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
Have a dream but not clear how to manifest it? Feel like the rest of the world was given the secret to achieving their dreams except for you? This acclaimed book, Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, was written for you. Author Debbie Dashinger received the Inspiration Book of the Year Award and Critics Pick from U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest for Wisdom to Success. It's a life-changing read, available at Amazon.
Talk radio is the most effective way to promote a book, business, product, or personal story. Done correctly, radio interviews will open doors. MediaMasteryRadio.com offers training and media strategy. At MediaMasteryRadio.com, learn to message yourself. Get results when you are interviewed, such as sales, followers, speaking gigs, and new customers. Programs, products, workshops, and private sessions at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Debbie Dashinger, welcome back to Dare to Dream. I'm interviewing Alka Dhillon, and I'm going to spell her name so you can get it right when you go to her website. It's D-H-I-L-L-O-N-A-L-K-A, alkadhillon.com. I'm interviewing Alka. She is the recent recipient of the Global Technology and Innovation Leaders Award of the Decade, presented by the Women's Economic Forum. Welcome back, Alka. Your book, The Ohm Factor, is the winner of the Axiom Business Bronze Book Award, and it was also endorsed by Deepak Chopra, Jean Houston, and Wayne Dyer before he passed. How did you connect with this level of transformation leaders to have them read and write an endorsement for your book? What was that process?
It's kind of like the process that you were when you were talking about the coffee shop with the Nespresso kind of thing. It's you feel that things just happen serendipitously and they just happen. And I with Deepak Chopra, this is actually a great story. I was at one of his retreats in Carlsbad, and one of his wonderful meditation retreats. And I happened to be sitting in the courtyard at his Chopra Center, and he was walking past me, and I was looking down at my phone at the time, and because you're not allowed to use your phone except in the courtyard. And I was looking down at my phone at the time, and I looked up, and he was right there, and he was walking, I guess, to his car. And I stood up, quickly, and I said, "Dr. Chopra," and I went over there, and he turned around, And I said, you know, how are you? It's, you know, really great to meet you. And I noticed that his entourage was kind of creeping closer. They were probably about 500 yards away. So I knew, and this was 2 years prior to my even starting writing the book, okay? And I knew I probably had about a minute to get out what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, listen, I'm writing this amazing book, you know, called The Ohm Factor, and I want to talk to you about it and, you know, all of this, and I think it's great, and I was wondering if you would endorse it. And he said, you know, I get a lot of people asking me for this. Why don't you, you know, go ahead and send it to my assistant, and then, you know, I'll take a look at it. I said, if I send it to your assistant, you're never going to see it. Mm. So if you please would trust me, I will not contact you until and unless it's ready for your review, and, you know, you would take a look at it. But it's going to be a couple years before I get it to you. And he said, you know, I'll remember. And he said, if I like it, I'll give you an endorsement. So I did not email him. I did not contact him. He gave me his private email. Wow. And then I sent it to him. And 2 years later, and about 4 months after that, it ended up in my inbox, just the endorsements.
So you sent it off, you waited, and then it just came
out. I waited four months, the longest 4 months I've ever waited. Ever.
Oh, that's spectacular.
And I didn't even know, honestly, I didn't know if he had gotten it, because remember, I'd promised him, I'm not going to contact you, only to send it to you, right? I didn't know if he had read it or anything, and I wanted to respect that and honor what I'd given him my word to do. And then, sure, in 4 months, it just showed up in my inbox. There was no intro, nothing. It was just the endorsement. So I knew right then that he liked it. So...
And the others, how did you manage that? Did they also walk into a courtyard or?
Same concept. Dr. Wayne Dyer, you know, God rest his soul. An amazing man. I was at he had come to Washington, D.C. He was speaking on a stage of about 2,500 people in the audience at a big convention center. And I was sitting in the last row, all the way at the back, with a dear friend of mine. And I could barely see him, but I could hear him and I could feel him. And I just said to myself, I said, you know, I need to meet him. I really want to meet him. So at the end of it, I made my way to the front. It's like in a rock star concert. Everybody's like mobbing him. And, you know, just imagine that. And I don't know how, but, you know, he happened to walk in my direction. And I was, you know, kind of closer by this time to the front. And he still had a lot of people around him. And at this point, for him, I was closer to about 6 months from finishing the book. So I just came to him, and I knew I had probably 15 seconds at this point. And I said, you know, Dr. Dyer, thank you so much for your amazing, you know, remarks. I love being here. Listen, I've written this book. And I told him the title, and as soon as I said the title, he said, I love that title. And I said, listen, would you consider giving me an endorsement? He said, do you know how many times I get asked that question?
Right.
I said, yes, I do. He said, give your manuscript to my assistant. I said, if I do that, I'm never gonna get you to read it. And he said, no, he went further. He said, no, she'll get it to me. And I said, I'm sure she will. I said, listen, if I could just send this to you, I would really appreciate it. And if you could just, you know, read it, and if you like it, send me an endorsement. I will not bother you. He gave me his email address, and sure enough, 6 months later, you know, I sent it to him. And for him, it was 6 months after that, and it was on my birthday. It literally showed up in my inbox on my birthday, and it was his.
When is your birthday?
December 13th.
Wow. An early Christmas present, too.
Yeah, and it was just great. I mean, so, you know, in all of this, I learned that there are many things. These serendipitous events, by the way, they happen to all of us, but we must pay attention to them. So I always feel, and I always know, and I'd like to share this with everyone, wherever you are and whatever it is you're doing, even if you're asking yourself, why the heck am I here? Why the heck am I doing this? I promise you there is a reason behind it. Mm. And you never know whom you're going to meet, as you know so well, Debbie, as you shared with us at the beginning of the show, what happened with you and what probably happens to you on a daily basis, because you're so present and connected that, you know, for me, when I just started to pay attention. And I will also encourage you, when these serendipitous events happen, a lot of us don't do this. We'll start to pay attention, but we won't write them down. What you will find when you write them down, you will start to see a pattern with those serendipitous events for something even bigger. So that bigger thing won't just happen to you by happenstance. You'll actually start to shapeshift and shape that reality to happen probably sooner than you would think.
Huge secret you just gave away, and that is something absolutely, when you're creating a dream, it is about taking action. It's about having a sense of the dream, but also about you have to release to the universe. They dream way bigger than we do, and they have a bigger sense of why we're here, and will often present things to us. And what you say is so true, Alka. I would never be in the career I am in now. I was not headed here by any means. I was an actress. I was a singer. I was a motivational speaker. I made jewelry for a while. I sang with a band. I mean, I had no intention. And if someone had told me back then, guess where you're going to end up in 10 years and what your life is going to look like, I would have said, please, you know, come on, silly. But thankfully, there was a good feeling inside when things were presented, and it felt like a yes. And like I have no clue where it's heading, but I know I can pull out if I need to, so for today it's a yes. And those yeses actually created the switchbacks, like skiing down a slope, of where I've ended up thus far.
Absolutely, and it's just such a, and I'm sure you can say this, and I will say this, as tumultuous or as joyful or as scary, as anxiety-provoking or as joyful, as I was saying, the ride has been and will continue to be. We must embrace that ride because that is what brings us the joy that we seek.
Absolutely. Wow. This is Debbie Dashinger. This is great conversation. And when we come back, we will be talking about dreams and what's possible, learning more wisdom from Alka Dillon. So join me on Twitter. Debbie Dashinger is my handle. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and international bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
What if you really do change molecules by your interaction with them? What if the change you've been looking for is right before your eyes? What if the uncomfortableness that comes with difference could be fun? What if the closed-minded people of the world no longer determined our world? What if gratitude trumps judgment every time? What if your kindness healed the world? What if the earth is asking for your help? And what if you had the resources to give it? This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Picasso, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Aristotle all knew to be true. Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. What if there are no dumb questions, or any question too large? What if you, being you, are the gift and the change this world requires? Is now the time? For more questions to create a change in your world, sign up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. My gift to you, beingyouclass.com.
Would you like to be a part of creating a sustainable future on planet Earth? The El Lugar Foundation, created by Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer, is a non-for-profit organization providing alternative ways of working with and preserving land for a sustainable future. To donate and learn more, go to crowdrise.com/change the course of our. What kind of Earth would you like to see passed on to the next generation and beyond? crowdrise.com/change the course of our.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Debbie Dashinger, welcome back to Dare to Dream. If you're just tuning in, I'm interviewing Alka Dhillon, CEO of Technolink and author of The Ohm Factor. You know, this is Dare to Dream. I want to ask you here, what are your next Dare to Dream, Alka? What are your future dreams and goals?
You know, my biggest dream at the moment and that I, you know, already see as a reality, I can already feel it and taste it and smell it, is that I really want The Ohm Factor to be an international bestseller. It's already doing really, really well, you know, in the States and in North America, but I would truly love for it to be an international bestseller.
And so it is. And I'm going to riff off of that because you and I just had an amazing conversation in the break, and this was so important. I was recently interviewed on a somebody is doing a project, and he was interviewing me about legacy, and specifically your living legacy. And it was really interesting feeling into it, and I had this huge aha while he was asking me questions. And my aha was, oh my goodness, I can create a statement or a mantra every day or for my whole life and live into that. And you said something to me in the break, and I wrote it down, to live my life as if that which I desire and want to manifest is a done deal and has already happened. That is incredibly powerful to live from. And so that means that anything that comes in, this is where I live from, right? Anyone can adopt this who's hearing it. So talk about that for you, and talk about that in regards to dreams and dreams that you've taken on.
Yes, I would love to, and it is so profound. It's a very subtle shift, but it is one that if you make, you will start to see the manifestation of whatever it is, whatever it happens to be that you would want more of in your life or want in your life. A lot of times people think that, oh, if I, you know, just chant this mantra, or if I just say this affirmation over and over again, or if I just will something to happen and keep thinking about it and keep putting my energy there, it will happen. That is not what makes things manifest. So that's one thing I want to make very clear. What makes things manifest is the innate belief and knowingness that that which you want to manifest has already happened. So you must be able to picture it, not just repeat it. You must be able to see it. You must be able to see yourself, if it's a new home that you want, in that home. What does that home look like? Not just having it on your vision board, right? You are going that extra step, and you are in that home. You are seated in a chair. You feel what that chair feels like in that space. You feel the energy in the space, the smells of the space, those things. So when you do your meditations, which we can talk about so many of them, and I talk about them in the book, different ones that you can do, you know, and you are trying to do, like, let's say, an intention manifesting meditation, which I actually offer free on my website. You can download it. It's free. You must be able to connect and feel it. And so when you live from that space, like you were just describing, Debbie, and I noticed that you live like that, and I shared that with you on the break. I've noticed that about you, and that is why you have such beautiful, amazing things manifesting, where you're not only helping yourself, you're helping others. You're helping so many people, and I think it's so beautiful. And so when you are able to live from that place and shift it a little bit, that's when you will see things happen.
Mm. Wow. So it sounds like really opening up. You know, I'm wondering, so this is today, and I know you're a high-powered woman. I know you travel around. I know you work with government. I know you're an amazing CEO, but you're also doing a lot of things, speaking on platforms and writing books and meeting incredible transformational people. And if you could go back, Alka, to your 16-year-old self now and say anything to your 16-year-old self, what would that be?
It's not that deep. Don't take yourself so seriously. It's not that deep.
Mm. Wow. What would you like to tell the listeners here at the end?
I would love to tell the listeners that, you know, if any of this has, you know, resonated with you in any way, just know that you're here listening because you are meant to be here. You are meant to take something from Debbie and my conversation, and please, please start to bring meditation into your life. Just those 2 minutes of just sitting. I don't care if it's in your office, in your car, at your home. You can always have time to bring those 2 minutes and raise your vibration, raise your ohm factor, and you will see changes happening, I promise you, that are just beyond your wildest dreams.
And the most important lesson you teach your clients, or the biggest secret tip that you share with clients or employees, what is that?
I feel that there are many, but the biggest one is, you know, trust in that voice and believe in yourself. That inner voice that you hear when it's stopping you from something, or it's telling you, you know, hey, maybe do it a different way. Stop, check in, and listen to that voice, and then, you know, course correct and act accordingly. There's a reason why you have your own inner compass, you know, and when you start and you start practicing that meditation, that inner compass becomes very well honed in, and you can discern that which is coming from anxiety and fear, and that which is coming from, you know, hey, you need to watch out for this, or hey, pay attention to this. This is great, you know. So trust yourself, connect with yourself, believe in yourself.
Do all of that so you can live your life as though that which you desire is a done deal and has already happened, and you remain open to the universe putting these amazing opportunities that Alka was so beautifully describing in your way. So you can say yes. Alka, thank you so much for inspiring us today on Dare to Dream.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Debbie. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, awesome for us too. AlkaDillon.com. And remember, she's got that free giveaway meditation I'll be heading over. And I end today's show with this quote from Warren Bennis. Good leaders make people feel that they're at the very heart of things, not at the periphery. Everyone feels that he or she makes a difference to the success of the organization. When that happens, people feel centered, and that gives their work meaning. If you want classes on media mastery training to become the very best at radio, messaging yourself, key messaging, interviews, and creating your book into a guaranteed bestseller, go to mybestsellerbook.com, mediamasteryradio.com, and debbiedashinger.com. All have amazing downloads and things to share. Thank you for joining me on Dare to Dream today. We will speak again next week.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.